I want to talk to y'all. I feel like I don't really want to talk at y'all. My hair might be getting in this mic. It might be annoying. Okay. So I'm going to need some, like, engagement participation because I'm low-key nervous when I, like, speak and it's just, like, dead stares. I can't do it. I'm going to need some, like, smile, laugh, hype me up, you know? I don't know the age range of this conference, and so the word that I had, I feel like I have to, like, tweak a little bit just because I don't want to say anything that's going to be over your head, and I'm just trusting that the Lord is going to use what I have to say anyway. See? So is there anyone, like, 12 to 14? Raise your hand if you're, like, 12 to 14. Okay, like, most of you. And then 15 up. Okay, well, it's half and half. And then is anyone like 18 and older in that? Okay. Okay. And then, so has anyone like graduated high school? I know a couple of ours. Kim and Jonathan on the front row. I love it. Okay. What I want to talk about today, I'm not going to chew ice into the microphone. What I want to talk about is encountering the Lord and how we go from encountering the Lord to burning for Him. But before we do that, I'm going to get my phone off vibrate because it's just going to blow up this whole time. And just kind of want to tell like a little bit about my story. So like I really just want to tell stories. Luke and I were talking last night about what we remember from youth conferences growing up. And a lot of the things that we remember are very, like, relational things, like the people that we met or stories that people told or, like, jokes. Or, like, the youth conferences where they used to do, like, skits. Have y'all ever been to those? Y'all are too cool for those guy conferences. Okay, so anyway, those are the things that we all remember. So I want to make sure that I can deliver this word in a story-type setting so you'll be able to relate to it. So I didn't grow up in a charismatic church. I didn't grow up in the CC. I don't want to get into like how I got to this church specifically, but very random, and just kind of came to Lazarus one year and stayed, pretty much is the gist of the story. Had nothing to do with CC or anything like that. So, but I'd been in charismatic churches and charismatic circles for a while, but I didn't grow up knowing the Holy Spirit or encountering Jesus. I had this desire in my heart to know God and to love God, and I really was doing the best that I could with where I was at, you know, in the church that I was at and spiritually and where my family was at, but I didn't know God. I didn't actually know Jesus or encounter Him. Do any of y'all remember the very first time you met Jesus? It's kind of a hard question. Some of y'all are probably, like, saved, like, the minute you were born, but but you can raise your hand, you remember the, like, exact moment, like, this is where I encountered God. Okay, good. For some of y'all, you may have not even really encountered Jesus yet in a true, tangible way that has marked your life where you can say, this was where I met Him, and my life has changed since then. And for those of you that's your story, I really believe that this conference is going to be a catalyst in that. That you're going to encounter Him in a super tangible way. So, like I was saying, I'd never really encountered Jesus. I grew up very traditional church, very religious, not the church itself, me. I really believe that we can, like, be on fire for the Lord and encountering the Lord, like, no matter what church we're in. And that our flesh, the nature of our flesh is to, like, love religion and go after religion because that's fallen man, is to earn our worth and earn our attention and our affection from God. And so that's really how I grew up. So, like, I was doing all the Christian things and all of that, but I really didn't actually know God until I was about 17. And so that's really why I wanted to know y'all's ages, because that is such a special time, and it's, like, so sweet to me. So when I see people who are in that same age range, I love it. I feel like I'm 17, but it was like 10 years ago. But I feel like it was just yesterday for me because that was such a crucial moment in my life. So when I was 17, God had started pursuing me for a while just through friends that I had and friends that my mom was meeting at the time. And so my mom starts going to this charismatic church. And y'all all know what I mean when I say charismatic, right? Okay, I don't want to start saying weird stuff and y'all are like, Mom, what's that mean? Anyway, mom starts going to this charismatic church. And I'm not really feeling it because, again, told you, I was super religious. I was like, this is right, this is wrong. Grew up in a traditional church. I had never seen someone give a prophetic word. I'd never seen anyone speak in tongues, nothing like that. And so I was like, I don't really know if that's biblical, Mom. Like, you go ahead and do that, and I'm going to be right, and I'm going to go to this church instead. So I literally, at 17, started going to a church by myself while my mom was going to a charismatic church with my siblings. And I'm one of 8 kids, by the way. Is anyone else in a really big family? I feel like we're like kindred spirits when there's people with a big family. So, yeah, I'm the one person who's now going to a different church. My mom's going to his charismatic church. And I don't regret that time. I don't regret going out on my own and trying to figure out what was real and what was not, because I had to learn for myself. And this is what I want to get into, is like I had to experience God for myself. I couldn't just live off of what my mom was telling me was real. And this was the slow roundabout way of doing that. So finally, my mom has nagged me enough to go to her charismatic church. And the first time that I go, a lady stands up and gives a word in tongues. And I start laughing so hard because I'm like, this is wacky. This is just weird. And I literally had to get up out of the church and stand like in, you know, by like the front door because I was like, this is wild. This is weird. And so that was my first encounter with that. At this particular church, they really want you to speak in tongues. They don't even need to know your name. You don't even need to come back to church next Sunday. They meet you and they're like, we're going to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they would call you up. And of course, when you're one of 8 kids, you see a big family in church and it's like eyesore. Like we need to meet these people. So we're sticking out like a sore thumb. And they call you up and it's all these church mothers, and I love church mothers, but they're like in your face. They've got the coffee breath. They're like rubbing your back. And I'm like, no, if you start rubbing my back while praying for me, I'm out. Like, it's not, no. So they're praying for me. They're just, come on, just do it. Come on, just do it. And I can't. Like, I literally can't. I'm like, if this is God, then he's going to do it. Like, quit forcing me. So I quickly learned to never go up for an altar call at that particular church. Again, nothing wrong with altar calls, but it was intimidating. And so I was like, there's something wrong with me if I can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then this is like a series of stories throughout this whole year that really marked my life. So after that, my mom drags me to a conference, a Randy Clark conference. And I don't know if y'all know who Randy Clark is. He's kind of, I mean, he's older for, I don't want to say he's old, but like y'all wouldn't really know. So, but he's a huge healing evangelist and pretty much has marked lots of people's ministries that you see today. So anyway, we go to this Randy Clark conference, and it's about the prophetic. And, yeah, you know, it's one of these conferences where, like, they make you stand up and, like, give a prophetic word. And I'm still like, I don't know if this is real or not. So, again, very intimidating. I was very nervous. But anyway, we're leaving one of the sessions. It's night. This guy is up there giving words of knowledge. I don't know what words of knowledge are. And as we're leaving, as soon as I walk out the door, my elbow starts hurting so bad, and I'm doubled over in pain, like cannot move. And my mom's already out the door, and she turns around, and she's like, what are you doing? Let's go. I'm like, I can't move. Like, my elbow hurts so bad. And she's like, oh, that's a word of knowledge. Go up to the front and give it. I'm like, so I go up to the front to give this word of knowledge that I don't know what it is. And I'm joking, y'all. Like, I really do believe in all this stuff now, but just try to... I'm not being mean about any of this stuff. So anyway, I go up to the front to give my word of knowledge, and the man is like, okay, great, pray for these ladies right here that raised their hand to elbow pain. I don't know how to pray for people. I've never prayed for anyone before. So I'm like, okay. And I go and pray for these ladies, and they're kind of sweet. They're like, you don't really know how to pray. You know, like, we'll receive it. And so I pray for them. I don't know to ask, have you been healed? Because I've never been taught. So I, you know, and I move on my way. But at that point, I was like, okay, God is real, and he's doing something in this wacky stuff that my mom has gotten into. And so I'm like, this could be real. This could be God. And I get a taste of it, and then I'm like a crazy person. And I become like the conference junkie. Like literally at this place, and I ended up going to school there later, but the people that worked there like referred to me as one of the conference junkies because I came to every single thing. Like the door was open, I was there. So there's a women's conference, and I love women's conferences. Babu doesn't, Bishop over there. I think we should have a women's conference at some point. I'm just going to say it. But, yeah. So, anyway, I go to this women's conference, and there's these two girls behind me, and Heidi Baker walks on stage. I don't know if y'all know Heidi Baker, but if you do. So Heidi Baker walks on stage, and these two girls behind me go, oh, my gosh, there she is in the flesh. And I turn around, and I'm like, okay, this place, it just keeps getting weirder. Like this gets weirder and weirder. So Heidi Baker takes the stage, and I'm not impressed because I'm a little bitter at the time. And she starts giving words, like at the very beginning of when she speaks, and she like really normally doesn't do this. And so she says, I have a word for, I don't know the name, but it's, you're a girl, but you go by a boy name. And I think it's Sam. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I get called on stage, and, like, it's already kind of nerve-wracking because it's a smaller setting, so there's only, like, you know, 5 or 7 people on stage. But I was like, this lady's calling me out. Like, this, the in-the-flesh lady is calling me out. So she prays for me, and I tell my mom about it. My mom about, like, hits the floor because she's like, what? Heidi Baker called you out? I'm like, yeah. So I get this word. The next day I go back, and they do an altar call for if you haven't received the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, if you've been in situations when this has occurred, but it's almost like at the time I had felt a little guilty about not being able to, you know, speak in tongues, receive the Holy Spirit. And so when people give this word, it's almost like the people like sitting there kind of look at you with like a little bit of pity, like, we're praying for you. So I go up there, and I'm like, let's try this again. And this sweet little lady walks by me, and she says, okay, I want you to just start saying thank you, over and over again. And I do, and she walks away at this point, and then all of a sudden, I start speaking in tongues. Like, this language just pours out of me. And it was like I had no control over my mouth. Like, my mouth was just, like, going crazy. And I was like, okay, this is 100% real. Like, all of this stuff is 100% real. And I go home that night, and on my way home, I see, like, 8 shooting stars, like, right over my car as I'm driving. And I'm like, God, like, you're just trying to get my attention that this whole thing is real. So from then on, I was like, you know what? I've encountered that all of this is real, and I want to live the rest of my life going after this stuff. Because I had spent most of my life really trying to know God, really trying to love God. And it was just like I was trying to, like, speak at him, trying to get to him. Like, he never really felt present. And it was at that point where I was like, he is 100% real moving in my life. And so I decided to go to ministry school there at Global Awakening. It's called Global School of Supernatural Ministry. And I'll get into that a little bit more, but there's another thing that solidified all this for me. God was really dealing with me on healing. I really had a hard time. I don't really know why. Like, you look back when you realize, like, when you get revelation, you look back to, like, before you had the revelation, you're like, why was that so hard for me to get? But I could not figure out, like, does God actually heal? I don't know. And I truly, genuinely believed that he could. But I didn't believe that he always would. And so I remember I used to go to the gym a lot. Don't anymore. What can you do? But I used to go to the gym a lot. And so every day I'm on my little elliptical doing my warm-up, and I hear God saying, "You believe I can, but do you believe I will?" And I struggled. I struggled with that so hard because I was like, I don't know. I don't want to say that you always will because maybe you're not feeling it that day. I don't know. And it was like over and over and over again until finally I just had to be like, God, I don't know, but I'm choosing to believe that you will. So from there, I get a call that my dad's sick. And he's like has like flu-like symptoms and he's in the hospital. So I'm like, okay, we're going to go visit dad in the hospital. And this, all of these stories are in the span of 1 year. Like, it was pretty crazy. So I go visit dad in the hospital. He's in ICU. And I'm thinking he's fine. Me and my younger sister are like, you know, he's fine. We're cool. And we're walking out of the hallway after we said goodnight because it's late. And the doctor comes out and tells my older sister, who's a nurse, you need to tell them that they're going to have to say goodbye. I didn't think I was going to cry about this. So we find out that my dad somehow is dying. Like, all of his organs are shutting down. And no one really knew why. Like, no one could figure out what was happening, how he was sick, what was the virus, what was the infection. Couldn't figure it out. And I just start praying, like, God, you have to heal him. And at this point, my mom is deep in charismatic, crazy stuff. Again, I'm joking. Oh, that's fine. But, like, praise, all of that, you know, we're deep in it. And she's calling every intercessor lady known to man. And all of these random women are showing up to my dad's hospital room. And my dad's family is like, because my mom and dad are divorced. So my dad's family is like, what? Who are these people? Like, there's ladies, like, literally laying on the floor. And I mean, like, it was bad. Like, he was on a ventilator. He had a tube. Like, he was not there. It was barely being sustained, and they were like, we only have a couple days, and after this, if he doesn't get better, like, it's over. So, I mean, we're calling out all the stops. Random family members never seen before in my life are there. And anyway, I just start praying. I start doing all of the things, all of the weird charismatic things. So I'm like, I don't know if this stuff, you know, if we have to kind of do this formula of praying for him, but that's what I'm going to do. You need to do a praise flag. I'm going to do a praise flag. I need to do the oil. I'm going to do the oil. Like, whatever. As long as it heals him, I'm going to do it. And so I'm, like, outside every room, putting my hand on the wall, like, all of this stuff to, like, pray through the wall, to pray for this man. And after 2 days, he, like, his signs slowly started getting better. Like, his numbers started getting better the second day. By the third day, he was completely fine. They were able to take him off of the ventilator. And at that point, they were like, we don't know what happened. We don't know why you were sick. We don't know why you got healed. Literally no clue. They even took a piece of his liver and sent it to this major research lab to figure out what it was. Still to this day, no one knows. And my dad doesn't really walk with the Lord. So he's like, wasn't that kind of wild? And we're like, yeah, Dad, that was really crazy. It's really crazy how you got healed miraculously. But he's just like, yeah, whatever it was, got to make sure I stay away from that. Like, he didn't get it. But at that point, I was like, okay, God isn't just, like, healing headaches like I'm seeing in these conferences. Like, he's literally bringing people back to life. And it's not just through these people that I see on stage, like Heidi Baker and Todd White and all of that. It's, like, for me, right here, right now. And that's what really sealed the deal for me to go after the Lord. And I remember trying to figure out if God healed. I would literally just stay up all night watching Todd White videos. Do y'all know who Todd White is besides our group? Okay. And at that point, he wasn't famous like he is now. I hate using that word, but you get what I'm saying. He didn't really have, like, a huge following. He was still a construction worker. And his home church was like 40 minutes from my house. And so we would go, you know, whenever he was there speaking. And I was just blown away by this man and the testimonies that came out of him. And that was what really pushed me to believe, okay, God heals. Because I'm staying up late at night watching Todd White videos and legs literally growing out. I'm like, this is crazy. So that's a quick overview of how I actually started believing in these things. And all of it sounds really cool and really hype. And I don't want this to take like a downturn. But I was encountering God. I was encountering God doing signs and wonders. But I hadn't encountered God's love. So I'm going to ministry school. I'm doing all the things. Praying for people. I'm going to Brazil. I'm seeing this man who had a stroke and couldn't talk, couldn't walk for like 4 years. I don't even speak his language, so I don't even know this stuff while I'm praying for him. And all of a sudden, he gets up out of a wheelchair and starts walking and talking. And the wife is like laid out on the ground. She's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's healed. And I was like, then she tells me he hasn't done any of that in 4 years. So I'm seeing all this stuff, but I don't have a deep revelation of God's love for me. I came into being on fire for the Lord and going after what God has for my life a little backwards because I came in just doing straight like signs and wonders. Does that make sense? And so it really messed me up for a long time, and I get so scared when I see young people start to go after God and start to do all the cool things, you know, but they don't actually have a deep understanding that they are loved, that first and foremost, the one thing that matters is that they're loved. Because when you start doing all the stuff for him, but you don't actually know him, you burn out majorly. So I went through school, I'm doing all this stuff, and everyone in second year, you have to pick a preaching topic. And everyone's getting up and they're doing the preaching. And they were talking about identity. And identity was like the buzzword at that point. And it was like, oh, identity. I know my identity in Christ. Identity, identity. And I'm like, what's this identity everyone's talking about? Like, I'd like to know about that. So I'm starting to see, like, this is the thing we need to know in order to be, like, on fire for the Lord, is this identity thing. So I need to put that on my list of things to do to be on fire for the Lord. Get my identity. Check. Move on. Like, I literally didn't know that I needed to really encounter God and his love for me to get all of that. That it wasn't just a step for me to do in order to move on, to be like, okay, now I can do all the cool things. So let me back up just a little bit here. I get scared when I see people doing stuff for him but not actually knowing him. And it takes a long time. It's not just a thing that we can check off our list. And I started thinking about 1 Corinthians 13. And everyone knows that verse as, well, that chapter is the love chapter, and it's talked about at every wedding ever known to man. But it starts off like this. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but I don't have love, it profits me nothing. And I used to read this verse when I'm doing all the stuff, and I'd be like, okay, well, I just need to do it with love. I just got to love the person while I'm praying for them to be healed, right? And I looked at this a while ago, and I'm like, wait, it's actually saying if you have love or not. And, like, how do we get love? How do we have love? And that's only poured out by letting God love us. And I think about the first commandment. What Jesus says is the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I used to take that verse, like, to heart. Like, God, I'm going to love you. I'm going to love my neighbor. And I would strive trying to love. And that's weird. You know, like, those things just shouldn't mix. And I would really strive at, like, God, I'm trying to love you, trying to love my neighbor, trying. And those just things don't mix. So how do we love? Well, the Bible says we love because he first loved us. So I'd suggest that the most important thing you could do would be to receive God's love. And that is uncomfortable for someone who likes to strive. That's super uncomfortable for someone who has never known love and doesn't know how to receive it, when you're, like I said earlier, your flesh nature wants to earn, it wants to perform for love. It's super uncomfortable to stop, like what Lauren was saying when she was speaking earlier, to just turn away from that thing and cast your net to the other side, to stop trying to perform for love and rest. I didn't need to do all those things for God to be impressed with me. I didn't have to do all that stuff for God to love me. The one thing he was concerned about was if I was receiving his love or not. I'm getting scared about this time. So, Luke and I have a baby right now. His name is Malachi. He's 4 months old. And he cannot do anything for himself. Malachi can only smile. Everything else I must do for him. And you would think that the most important thing would be for him to be fed and to be changed, right? That's the one thing he needs right now. But it's actually to receive love. They did a study, and you learn this in psychology, they did a study in an orphanage where these babies were fed and they were changed and they were put back down, laid in their cribs. They weren't rocked, they weren't held, they weren't sang to, nothing like that. And some of these babies actually died, and some of them suffered severe developmental delays because they had gotten their food, they had gotten change, but they hadn't received any love. God has made it to where our physical bodies need love. You don't just need it spiritually, you need it physically, you need it emotionally. And he designed babies that way for us to get a picture of, oh yeah, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how it's all supposed to be. We're born into this world needing to receive love first and foremost. Think about Jesus. He spent the first 30 years of his life just receiving God's love before he did anything cool. He just sat and received God's love until he was commissioned to go. And we always hear a story about when Jesus was baptized and the heavens open and God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And we quote that and saying, like, in it, really like in ministry, like, oh, before I get on stage and sing, like, God's pleased with me before any of it. Or before I go out to pray, God was pleased with me. And that's very, very true. But we think about that first part where he says, "This is my beloved Son." God isn't looking for workers. He's not looking for charismatic magicians who can do all the things. He's looking for sons and daughters. And it's only when you get that revelation of being a son or being a daughter that your natural reaction is to go do all the signs and wonders. The word says, I love the engagement. The word says that signs and wonders follow those that believe. That means it comes second, doesn't come first. I came into this thing backwards. I came into it signs and wonders first. I didn't come into it having a revelation that I was loved first. So when like 1 Corinthians says, when we're doing all the things, we don't have love, we're not knowing we're loved, we're going to get messed up. You're not going to sustain it. It's really cool. And I'm going to say all this, and it sounds sassy, and I love all these things, but it's really cool to go to all the conferences and to jump up and down in worship and to go pray for people and see people healed and be able to come back and have cool testimonies. But if you do all that stuff and you don't actually know that you're loved, I'm telling you right now, you're going to burn out majorly. I want to jump back into this part about the first commandment. When Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he says, the second is like, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this really hit me the other day when I was studying for this. Because how many of y'all are scared to pray for someone? Raise your hand. Thank you, Luke. So, okay. Yeah, I get it. Majorly. So I thought about this the other day, and I'm like, if we're supposed to love other people as we love ourselves, what will make us stop and pray for someone actually loving that person? You're not going to be scared when you actually love that person, because you're like, that person has a major need. I have the answer because I have Christ, and I am so moved by love that I can't pass him by. I have to pray for him. there's so many tools and stuff to help us pray for people, and I love all of them, and they're 100% great. When we have the motivation of love, we're forced to go. We're compelled to go. If you look at Heidi Baker and you look at Todd White, y'all know, like, when they talk, they're a little wild. Like, they just sit there and cry because they're so moved by love. I've heard people say, like, oh, I was just moved by God's love for that person. Like, God's just loving that person through me. And when I look at, like, the people like Todd White and Heidi Baker, what I see is, like, they got a revelation of God's love for that person, and all of a sudden their heart was changed. They're like, oh, my gosh, I love you, so I have to pray for you. So that's why they'll sit there and they'll hold someone and, like, cry for hours because they actually love that person. Like, I really think, like, this sounds like a cute little saying, like, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I really think God means it. Like, shocker. I really think he means that. And what that looks like is getting over yourself. Majorly getting over yourself. Because it's only someone who knows that they're loved is able to lay their life down for their neighbor, is able to put themselves aside because they know it's not about them anymore. They know, I'm not trying to get my needs met and make sure I'm loved. They know, I'm loved, I'm good, so I can lay my life down. I can put my schedule aside. I can go out and pray for that person in Winn-Dixie, even though it might be embarrassing because I know 20 other people in there. Me. That's me. And that just really convicted me. I really think that God means love your neighbor as you love yourself. And who's your neighbor, you know? Who is it? It's more than just the person, you know, on the street that we pray for. It is that person, 100%. It's also the people around us, your family, your friends, putting them first. And that sounds so weird and messed up to our American culture. Like, in this age of self-care, like, what? I would put someone before me? But that's the Bible. That's why God says, Jesus says, those who lose their lives for my sake will find it. When you start loving your neighbor as yourself, you literally lose your life because you have no agenda anymore. You have no schedule. You have no time for yourself. Moms get this. I get this now, being a mom. You give up your whole life. You've got nothing. Any ounce of sleeping in, any ounce of alone time, it's all gone. You lose your life. And that's the kind of love that God's calling us to. But when you lose your life for your neighbor, when you lose your life for that person in front of you, it's where you find it. That's true fulfillment. And I used to think that true fulfillment was like finding my calling. Like, what does God want me to do in the world? This is it. That's it. Receiving God's love, loving him in return, and loving neighbors as yourself. And that's what I pray over Malachi every night. So I don't want to take up too much of your time because we're about to go into Eucharist. So I want to pray this over y'all, and I want you to stand up and just get in a posture of, like, expectation, especially if you've struggled with receiving love before, if you've had any sort of, like, trauma in your past. Like, it was really hard for me to understand the concept of receiving love because of the things that I witnessed growing up, and so I specifically want to pray for y'all, but I'm not going to call you out because I hate when people do that kind of stuff. It's embarrassing. So I want to pray specifically for y'all, specifically if you feel like, God, I've been doing all this stuff, but I don't actually know you, like I'm not actually connecting with you, this prayer specifically is specifically for you. I used to pray, like, because I wanted so bad to get it. I used to pray, like, God, just let me receive your love. Just, like, knock me out, and then I'll, like, stand up and wake up, like, I get it, I'm loved, I get it. That didn't happen for me. It does happen for some people. Could happen to you. If you're one of those people that's really been crying out for, like, I want to know God's love, absolutely. He could, like, Holy Spirit could take care of it in a second. For me, it took just years of relearning to trust the Lord to get to that place. But, okay, stand up. I want to pray for you. Father, I just thank you for your love. I thank you, God, that this is how you designed us to be, to first and foremost receive love, to step into the things that you've called us to go out to the world knowing we're loved. I thank you, God, for signs and wonders and all those things that follow love, because they're just a manifestation of how much you love us. I thank you, God, for that realization and that revelation, and then I ask that that gets poured out into these hearts here. And right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you just blow on their hearts and give each individual person a true understanding of how much they are loved. God, let this be a lifelong intimacy with you. Let this realization, Lord, carry them throughout their whole life. And I just pray what I pray over Malachi. God, let them receive you into their hearts. Let them receive your love and love you in return and love others as you've called them to, God. Let them love you like no one else has, and let them receive your love like no one else has before. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.